Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Meaning, welcome to episode 101 of the LA Rams UK podcast, The Running Man. I'm John, and joining me as always is Andy. Andy, how's it going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm not bad. Just glad to be back on winning street, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Especially after, you know, it was definitely a game of two halves, and you kind of, you were wondering at half time, it was like, oh my God, is this that, you know, like I said last week, this had the feel of a banana skin game, and was it just going to turn out to be that way and I've jinxed the team again?
Yep, we are definitely a team of two halves, and usually it's the first half we're good and the second half we're absolute awful, but it seemed to be a flip, and that is of course referring to our week six victory over the Cardinals. 26-9 victory against them. Like, as you touched upon, Andy, the first half wasn't pleasant watching at all, was it?
No, it was an absolute disaster, and you just felt like, you know, where were we going to, you know, get the ball moving? How were we going to get this game going? You know, were we just going to, you know, everything in the first half just felt off. And to be honest, it felt lethargic from the team. The team felt very lethargic and just, like, it felt like almost like they were just on like a walkthrough, and you know, the attitude was, it's only the Cardinals, will easily smack them. And you know, the Cardinals have proven, you know, even though they've got a bad record this season, you know, that they have got that dog in them, and the coach has got them fired up to, you know, battle. But you know, in the end, I think our quality, especially on offense, shined through, and we just got the job done in the second half.
Yep, definitely did.
I think one thing I think we want to shout out is it was nice. I think it's the first time in a long time I've actually seen McVay make adjustments at halftime, which is, like, you know, rare as hell.
I mean, going into the game, there was a whole like, oh, is he going to be there to coach, because obviously his wife's expecting. He's since joked that his son knows better than not to come during the game. But the adjustments he made at halftime, it made me sit and think, Is he just basically said, just run the goddamn ball in case I need to go here? And he's I thought he was maybe expecting a call, like, I'm going to have to rush. Just run it. Don't care, just run it. Like, I'm off. Like, because we actually ran the ball more than we passed it. And that's not something I think the Rams have done in a very long time. To such success. And I mean, don't get me wrong, it was great to see his run the ball. It was great to see, I mean, it was 178 or 79 yards in the second half alone.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Jesus Christ, man. I mean, that's good enough to get a whole game on the ground like that, but for the second half, like, that's incredible. And the majority of that is down to one man, you know, Kyren fucking Williams, as I'm labelling him here. 20 carries for 158 yards. And it got a touchdown as well. For me, it was a breakout performance from him. I mean, yeah, granted, it's the Cardinals, but still, credit where it's due to Williams, eh, Andy?
Yeah, exactly. You know, credit where credit's due. This is definitely, he's put himself, you know, definitely on the map. And, you know, it's just the same that it's looking like now he's going to miss a few weeks with injury. And, you know, just when I think, you know, he was getting going and finally getting confidence in the team, and the team also, you know, the offensive line and McVay were getting used to, well, this is actually what this guy can do if you just give him a chance. You know, like I've said previously, he's not going to break off, you know, massive, you know, 30-40 yard runs, because he's not quick, but he's, if anything, it's actually helping him because he's more patient, he's allowing the blocking to go, and then he's just grinding out those 8-10 yard every time and just giving us that. As I've said before, for a small guy, he's given us this power element that I don't think we've had in our game for a very long time. Certainly not since we had Anderson alongside Gurley, where he gives us that power element. You know, so it's nice to finally have that in the game. And we've got linemen now, especially, you know, with Avia and Dotson, who are big, bulky guys who are actually just creating those spaces for them simply with their size.
Yep. Yeah, just like you said, Danny. We've said it before, but with Williams, he's not necessarily like a speedy running back, but he is capable of kind of grinding out the yardage, and that's the kind of the ground game. It's got his own kind of ground and pound, I guess, that we seem to prefer. But this week, obviously, he was able to break out for some decent gains on the ground. But like I said, for me, like just the sheer amount of plays we actually ran on the ground was just it's unheard of for McVay. But that's not to detract from the running game, because Cooper Kupp went 7 receptions for 148 yards and a touchdown. You know, which is, you know, it's, I guess, and is this great stats, but it's typical Cooper Kupp stats. But it's great to see that Kupp, you know, in his second week back, is, you know, he's hit the ground running, Andy, hasn't he?
Oh yeah, he's, you know, I think last week, you know, he said he seemed a little bit rusty, but this week him and Stafford seem to be back on, you know, Super Bowl form almost, if you like, with, you know, they were just so well connected with each other, right places, right times. You know, he came down with a few tough catches as well and just, you know, give us basically what we expect from Kupp, and, you know, hopefully this continues for the guy. And, you know, I think even on these two games now, on pace, even with him missing the first, what, for 3-4 weeks of the season, he's still on for 1,000 plus yards yet again already.
Yep. I mean, even last week with the rust, he was still over 100 yards.
Yeah.
Interception. So even with like that rust, he was still capable of getting the yardage. So, yeah, just like you said, like, imagine if we had him from the start of the year. And in a sense, it's, well, we're seeing that Puka's kind of not necessarily been relegated, but he's definitely, you know, kind of taking a bit of a step back because Kupp's now there. You know, he's the number one guy. He's wide receiver one. I suppose it was to be expected that when Kupp came back that, you know, Wills Puka started on, like, came out the traps absolutely flying, blowing people away his first 4 weeks. It was to be expected that he would kind of not necessarily fade off to the sunset, but, you know, take that little step back because our number one guy there, eh, Andy?
Yeah, and, you know, as the stats show, this was very much, you know, we tend to be a very pass-happy game, which is where you can have the two receivers. This week, it was, you know, a large run game, which means those stats are going to disappear. But, you know, I will say one thing over the past couple of weeks, something that has started to creep into Nakua's game, which we've not seen, is drops. You know, and that's kind of a little bit worrying now that he has, you know, he dropped the touchdown, which, you know, you'd expect him to get. And, you know, the week before he had a couple of drops as well. So, you know, it's something that's a little bit worrying for us, I think, with him. Obviously, you know, it's only two games, but, you know, I don't know whether his confidence has gone down because he's not getting the targets or whether it's just bad luck. You know, but, you know, I think Stafford is one of those sort of quarterbacks. If he doesn't have the confidence, though, in you, he's going to stop throwing because he's like, you know, I'm not going to throw to you if you're going to just drop it on me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. He'll go back to, well, Kupp's Mr. Reliable because he catches everything. I'm just going to launch it his way.
That's that, yeah. And, like, does that kind of connection between Stafford and Kupp that he's always going to look out, Kupp, you know, look, see where he is, you know, and like you said, with the confidence, he knows that when he launches the ball to Kupp, you know, I suppose you can't really say more than 9 times out of 10. Like, it's not every time like he's going to catch it, but like, you're pretty much Kupp's guaranteed to bring it down more or less every time that Stafford kind of like slings it towards him. Whereas also, Nakua is still a rookie, he's still learning. You kind of the NFL side of the game. His career started off great. This kind of lull, as we'll say, as was to be expected, but that's not to say that in the coming weeks Nakua will get back into the game. It's just that we've got Kupp back. Stafford's going to want to target him first and foremost. We're going to want to utilise him in terms of the plays we're calling first and foremost. Secondly, and it's just a byproduct that a rookie who was able to step up to fill the gap that, you know, Kupp's injury left in the team is going to now recede back to where. I mean, well, not necessarily where he was going to be, because we probably thought Nakua was going to be further down the kind of wide receiver core. So he's kind of just stepped back one step because he's probably seen as, you know, wide receiver two now, isn't he, Andy?
Yeah, basically, he's now wide receiver two, you know, and we've gone back to the natural order of cut one. Obviously, Nakua is now two, and then, you know,
and we didn't expect him to be two.
No, because we were all expecting Van Jefferson. It was going to be Cup, Van Jefferson, and then it was going to be a sort of three-way fight between Atwell, Skowronek, and maybe occasionally we'd see Nakua, you know. And to be honest, McVay traditionally hasn't been one. He tends to leave his rookie wide receivers a lot of the time on the bench for the first year, or just has them as sparing players. You know, oh, well, game's finished, I'm going to rest my starters, you can go in and have a few snaps, you know, just to, you know, that tends to be his way. Whereas obviously this year he was kind of forced because of the cup situation to get him out there.
Yeah.
You know,
you mentioned a name there, and we've not really heard much of him this year, and that is Benny Skoh. Last year, he was quite a prominent figure in the Rams' offense, and that was before the injuries really even hit. You know, we had the whole like Benny Skoh fullback, you know, era last year, but this year he's just totally fell down the pecking order, hasn't he, Andy? And I think it's one of those ones, like, I hate to say it, but like he's probably on the kind of chopping block. You know, he's one that's probably going to end up going in India the way things are going.
I don't know, because obviously, you know, his special teams contribution, he's still, you know, making the contributions on there, which, you know, was always an important side of his game. And I think he's more, obviously, now he's sort of wide receiver four, because obviously we've let Jefferson go. So he's a capable, you know, backup to step in if things go wrong. But I think as well, it's just a case of, because we've got now a couple of big guys up front in Avia and Dotson, we don't need that extra blocker. So McVay's thinking, well, I don't need to put the extra blocker in now. So what's the point? You know, I've got a couple of big guys who are doing the job, creating the spaces, blocking up things. So I don't need to, you know, instead of it, you know, having Skowronek back there as the fullback, and then he's going to have to drop Nakua or Atwell or someone, you can basically now go, well, I'll just keep the three of them out, because Nakua is still doing a decent job, even himself, on running blocking still. So I think it is just a case of, again, because of the changes and the improvements we've made in areas, his role has diminished because of that.
Yep. Flipping over to the defensive side of the ball, 9 points allowed the whole game from the defense. I know the Cardinals offense isn't exactly the best, and that's been polite to them, but still, 9 points is 9 points. You know, three field goals the whole game is, you know, amazing, especially to shut them out the second half. Aaron Donald is one sack away now from moving into the all-time top 30 of sack leaders in the NFL, but shouting him out again, he was the player of the week last week, and that is Ernest Jones, tackling machine, leading the defense once again in tackling. He's shown quite a lot of consistency this year, isn't he, Andy, in terms of his output on defense?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I think, as you said previously, he's took that year under, you know, Wags to basically get himself, you know, to learn the game a bit more, obviously another year's experience. And for a lot of linebackers, I think we're starting to notice a trend in the league is it's taken them 2, 3, sometimes 4 years before they're fully, because of how complex the position is these days in the modern NFL, it's taken them a bit longer to get used to it. And I think we're just seeing that now, the maturation of him, that he's starting to, you know, really get the position, understand it. And the guy is just, you know, it's like basically walks on that pitch and someone's just stuck a rocket up his backside, because he's just flying up and down that pitch everywhere, you know. And that is something, you know, traditionally for the Rams, we've kind of always, linebackers almost felt like we don't need to really worry about that position, you know. We've got Aaron Donald, you know, we've got a good secondary, middle of the park, don't matter. And I think now that we've got somebody who's, you know, up there as, you know, I'm not going to say one of the best, but, you know, a top...
Decent, top
60. You know, if you're going to start, like, starting 32, I'd put him, you know, right bang, sort of in the middle, top 16. You know, he's... And trending... Well, but the guy is still trending upwards. So, you know, I think next year he's due his contract, and hopefully we've learned from our mistakes of letting players go like that and basically keeping the guy. And he's, again, a young piece on the defense that we can build around for the future as well. You know, to be honest, he could be our, if you like, Levante David of the books, you know, just sticks with the team year in, year out, and, you know, gets better and better as he gets older.
Yep, correct me if I'm wrong here. Was it Ernis Jones that last year Aaron Donald actually described as, you know, potential for being an absolute stud in the league? It was Jones, wasn't it? Because I remember Donald speaking last year about what, if enough, I believe it was Jones, and like at the time Jones wasn't really kind of like playing as much because Wagner was the focus in the league back before.
It was very much, he was one of them again, just did the job. He didn't really notice him. He just got on with his job, which is as a linebacker, especially as a middle linebacker, you know, if you're just doing your job and not getting noticed, it kind of means you're doing it. You know, you're doing well because you're not getting highlighted for blowing coverages or missing out on your gaps and run defense and what have you. And like I say, the guy's just, again, every year is, since he's come to the team, it's just improved every year, you know, year in, year out. And, you know, I think for the moment, for the guy, you know, the sky is the limit, and he seems the sort of guy as well. He's got the mentality of the right mentality of, you know what, I'm coming in every day, I'm training, I'm getting my head down. He obviously clearly studies his tape and is improved, you know, to keep that improvement going. And that, like I say, is just, you know, fantastic for us moving forward. And, you know, like I said before, hopefully this is a guy that, you know, much like AD, is going to be around for a long time and will retire a Ram and, you know, be seen in, you know, the likes of, you know, Bobby Wagner, Devontae David, you know, in a few years' time. He'll be the, you know, when you're discussing your top five linebackers, I can see him being in that sort of conversation if he carries on his trajectory as he's going.
As you've touched upon, the kind of linebacker position, the Rams isn't one that they've ever really put a lot of thought and a lot of kind of time into actually getting the right guys into those positions. With exception of James Laurinaitis, like for me, at like the last, you know, good running back, linebacker that the Rams have, you're going back to like kind of like obviously like Lyndon Fletcher, Leonard Little. Like the Rams have always struggled in the linebacker core, and for me, it does seem like they've got something there in Jones. And like I said, just as introduced this wee bit, that he's consistently performing this year so far on defense, and he's leading the defense in tackling, which is great. And it's great that it's coming from the linebacker position, and it's not like tackling coming from the line or whatever. Like, like kind of run stopper, you know, kind of mentality or what.
Yeah, it's not just that as well. Obviously, modern day linebackers, you've got to be able to cover as well. You know, you've got to be able to cover tight end running backs, and he's doing that well. It's not as if, like, some linebackers, they're either good at coverage or they're good at run defense. They can't do both. So that's where you tend to find you have your two linebackers. One will be your pro, which is why a lot of teams now are starting to play like strong safeties as like the sub linebacker on passing downs, because they're like, they don't have that other player. He's a three down linebacker. He can cover, he can tackle, he can do the run, he can do everything. And that's, you know, a really good sign. If we can just get somebody alongside him similar, then, you know, the middle of the park is basically sorted for a long time. As much as, you know, Roseboom and what have you, I just don't, the guy just doesn't do it for me. I just really don't think why anybody sees him. You know, I know he got an interception this week, but it, you know, basically the ball just landed in his hands. You know, I just don't rate the guy. But that's the sort of linebacker we've played with for donkey's years. It's, you know, your Troy Reeders, your Christian. It's just been whatever. You know, we'll just stick him out there. If they make a play, great. If they don't, well, we've just got to have him out there for rules.
We've got Aaron Donald out there,
you know.
I know what you mean, is there anyone else in the defense you want to kind of give praise to?
Yeah, you know, again, highlighting, you know, Byron Young again, you know, just seems to be getting better and better every game he's playing. He's getting more instinctive with the game. You know, his speed, you know, I think a lot of teams are really struggling with his pure speed, you know, especially when he's getting out, you know, into a bit of space and he can, you know, get that bend around tackles. He's just all over them, you know. To be honest, another one is, again, Witherspoon. Just did his job again this week, you know, which is, I think, what we just need at the moment. He's just solid. He's, you know, covering up wide receiver ones and that, you know, 80% of the time winning his battles. And, you know, that guy who's just quietly, again, come into the team, no flash, no fuss. And, you know, he's just getting on with the job, which is what, like I say, what we needed was just a bit of stability in the back end because of how young it is.
Just going back quickly, just on Byron Young there, I saw that him and Kobe Turner this week are graded in the top 10 by PFF for rookies. The two of them, like, you know, Kobe Turner's another one who's kind of came in and started off his career quite well with the Rams. But moving back to Witherspoon seems to be an absolute, you know, great acquisition. By the Rams, especially on defense, like he's came in, no fuss whatsoever. Just came in, got his head down, and he's, you know, he's performing, he's grinding, and he's shutting down receivers, left, right, center, and he's been able to get an extra interception, you know that. He's definitely, he's it's good to have someone that seems to have a bit of quality in the secondary. We'll come on to one of his teammates in a minute because I want to try and end the victory over the Cardinals on a kind of positive kind of note, and that's to name our Week 6 Player of the Week. Now, looking at the stats, right, there's two options, right? There's the easy option and then there's the right option. And the easy option is to give it to Cooper Kupp, who in only his second week has put up Cooper Kupp numbers. However, it's Cooper Kupp numbers, and that's not to take away that it's not anything special. It's the output that we have now come to, you know, it's the norm for Kupp. So that's saying he's the easy decision. The right decision is your man, Kyren Williams. Yeah. 158 yards, you know, for a guy that we've talked about him every single episode so far this year. We've said, yeah, he's doing good. He's grinding at. He's not a power back. He's not a speedy back. He's not going to get you big gains or whatnot, but he'll get you those yards that you need. Whereas this week he got those yards and a bit more. So for me, if you're in agreement, Andy, Kyren Williams is our Week 6 Player of the Week.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's nobody else that we could, you know, give it to. You know, this is supposed to be for players, you know, who, you know, have either an outstanding game or, you know, a game that is more than what we'd ever expect from them. And, you know, you can't give it to anyone other than Kyren Williams because of what he did this week and his breakout. And, you know, we just hope, as I say, his injury is not too bad and he's not going to miss too much game time.
And that's a nice way to bring it on to the next bit, and that is, unfortunately, to talk about his injury now. So, I mean, what is it? It's a sprain, isn't it? They're describing, but he's going to be out for a few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be a sprain. I think they've said a couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, isn't it? They're expecting. So, you know, it's a bit of a...
We've had a breakout week with our running game. We actually had a running game. It looked good. It's like fantastic. Got the Steelers coming up. They're absolutely, like, god-awful run defence. We could annihilate them on the ground here without an Inigo pass. And then Williams is injured, and now Ronnie Rivers is on IR. But flipping that to a bit of positive, we've obviously made some acquisitions there. So Darrell Henderson rejoins us for the millionth time now. And we've also signed Miles Gaskin whilst promoting Royce Freeman to the active roster. Thoughts on the acquisitions, Andy?
Yeah, it's just players out there who we can get in, you know. Miles Gaskin has showed flashes in Miami, you know, but unfortunately, when you've got the likes of Mostert and Achane, you're never going to stand a chance with those two because of how quick they are. But, you know, he has had decent production. I'm not going to say he's anything, but, you know, special, but he's just going to get the, you know, he might be another one that just needs that get the job done sort of guy if he gets promoted. Royce Freeman, yeah, we'll see. I've never rated the guy, but yeah, maybe it'll be his resurgence to come back. And obviously Henderson knows the offense, he knows McVay, he knows the scheme. You know, everyone's saying, you know, they've been watching him on TikTok or Instagram or wherever it is off in the off season and what have you. He's training, he looks fit and healthy and ready to go. So, you know, give the guy, you know, a chance. See, you know, maybe being cut and everything he's gone through could have given him that spark in his backside to, you know, get it together. But I'm also excited, potentially, if McVay's willing to do it, is to give Zach Evans a chance now and let's see what he can do. You know, we drafted him fairly high for a reason. You know, let's get him out there and let's, you know, it's a guy I have been calling about for the past few weeks saying, yeah, I'd like to see the guy be given a bit more of a chance because he gives that speed complement to, you know, someone like Kyren Williams. So I'd like to see the guy now get out there and maybe, you know, given a chance to say, well, you've got 3 weeks, prove what you can do to us, for us.
Well, that's it. Like you're saying, you know, let's not forget about Zach Evans here. Mate have brought in like Daryl Henderson, who knows the scheme, knows the offense, and could slot straight in there. Fingers crossed it could be a bit of a case of he's backing up, you know, Evans. But I guess we'll see. Like you said about McVay earlier in the episode here, that he does prefer to kind of bench his rookies. So it'll be an interesting one to watch what exactly he does here because, you know, he's lost. You know, Akers is gone because we've traded him and now we've lost basically the next two running backs in the depth chart. So is he going to go to Evans or is he going to, you know, go to the solid hand in Henderson and deal him in?
Yeah, it'd make more sense for me to, like I say, to give Evans a chance. To be honest, I don't see, like I've said before, I don't see how Rivers is getting game time over Evans. Mm-hmm. Personally, but obviously, you know, we'll trust McVay and maybe what he sees that we don't see. Yeah. But for me, I just really do. Now it's time, I think, let the guy have a shot. You know, we've seen plenty of rookies this year, running back wise, come in and, you know, who were sort of, well, you know, we'll see, have taken over and, you know, some of them are getting running back one jobs now. So, you know, let's give the guy a chance. You know, if he's not particularly good, well, yeah, all right, we'll put him back on the bench and we'll go with Henderson, Gaskin, Freeman, whoever. Yeah, but if the kid's good, then, you know, it's another piece that we can use moving forward and moving forward even this season for the offense of, well, okay, now we've got that speed element that we can play more, you know, outside runs, wide zone stuff and stretch teams even more, which, again, is just going to help the rest of the team and especially help with the play action, because then you're all of a sudden, you're not going to end up with the defensive ends crashing in on you, you know, on the pocket so quickly, because you'll have that threat of the guy going out. You know, that's one thing with Williams, he doesn't really have that. Teams can plan because they're like, if he gets outside, he's not quick enough that, you know, we can get someone over there to cover him. If you've got that speed, as teams like Miami are showing, if you've got that speed to get on the outside, you're forcing the defensive end to sort of stay out wide away from the quarterback, which, again, you know, for a team like us who likes a lot of play action stuff, it gives Stafford a lot more time in the pocket again.
Definitely does. And moving on to the other kind of piece of news this week. So we didn't have great news, obviously, in losing kind of two running backs this week. We didn't exactly have great news with Darian Kendrick, did we, Andy?
No, but I have a feeling this could be a blessing in disguise.
Yes, I absolutely agree there. He's been for lack of a better word, absolute horseshit for us this year.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, it was two years, not last season, the year before. And I remember talking about David Long Jr., you know, and how he was getting absolutely tossed and annihilated off of everybody he was covering. And he was just a waste of a man out there. Kendrick this year is kind of similar to me. He's just all over the place. He's off the pace. And he's just not good enough, basically, from this year.
No, I think it shows that his lack of speed is causing so much trouble for him, because he can't man up with players, because, you know, they're just going to get past him without a chance. So he's causing penalties because he's having to hold, he's having to, you know, busted coverages. He's just not, you know, you can have corners who are slow speed if they're intelligent with it, but the guy isn't intelligent with it either. He's just too handsy, too grabby, and to be honest, just doesn't have the right attitude for me. Even before all this, you know, I know PFF seems to have given him a higher grade, and I'm thinking, looking at it and going, I'm sorry, you guys watching the same game that I'm watching? Because, you know, it seems to be one of them players, PFF loves him, but when you actually see him on tape, it's like, no, what? You know, I don't get it. Personally, for me, I've always, you know, I felt from the start, our best three to start the season was Witherspoon, Durant, and Duke Shelley. Those three, for me, were the starting three that I would have gone with. You know, Duke Shelley, much like Darius Williams, he's sort of at 5'9" corner, and basically Minnesota went, you can't play on the outside, you're too small. You're going to play as a slot. And that's not how, it's not his skill set. He is an outside corner, which is what we learned with Darius Williams was, you know, yeah, okay, you're a lot shorter than, you know, you're not the typical 6'2" corner that we want, you know, that tradition is for the, you know, outside corner. But with our scheme, those sort of corners work well with their speed and his intelligence. So that guy for me should have been starting from, you know, day one personally. But, you know, hopefully now with what's going on with Kendrick, depending on obviously on what happens moving forward.
Like I say,
this could just be a blessing in disguise for the team, because they'll finally be able to get that guy off the field, you know, and actually get better players starting for us. And, you know, the defense, you know, as good as the defense has been already, you know, if we get a secondary that's even more prominent and better and has better coverage players, things can, you know, get better even more, you know, potentially, you know, we've got our three corners then for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years. So what about you with Kendrick? What are you thinking?
As soon as the news broke, I don't know why I wasn't surprised. And that's not because he's you know, he's had this kind of like misdemeanor level from college. Just the way the guy's played this year, it just, like I said, for some reason it didn't take me by surprise. But on the other side, I was kind of just like you're saying, it's less like this might be a good thing, because McVeigh probably, I mean, I'm surprised they've not done it already. McVeigh cut his ass, basically. He's gone. You know, I don't understand how you would want to keep a man that's been arrested, you know, for possession, you know, of a firearm, and then for, like, you know, like having cannabis as well. Like, you're supposed to be a role model, you know, not just for the team, but the community as well. You know, the NFL's big on charity, volunteering and all that, you know, and supporting local communities. Guys like that, like, to me, there's no place for them in the league. So,
yeah,
if you're going to get yourself in that position, like, you shouldn't be on the team, basically. So I won't be surprised if he's gone. Maybe because McVeigh's attention is kind of elsewhere, as he's preparing for his son to be born, he's not really got to that yet, or perhaps he's kind of waiting for it to die down to see actually how bad it might look for Derry and Kendrick, for him to decide, right, is this a slap in the wrist? Do we suspend him, or do we get rid of him?
Maybe now they're just waiting for the league to make a decision on him. Well, the league might get involved and suspend them anyway.
Yeah, maybe it's the one the league to do a favour, do them a favour.
Yeah, they normally get done with it. Behaviour tantamount to league policy or whatever the hell it is that they call it. You know, but this isn't the first time. This is his second charge. He's had this previously back in 21. Similar thing, found asleep. In a car with a gun in his lap and cannabis on him. You know, so it's not as if it's a first-time offence. You know, he's obviously previously got form for this. You know, and this is why I think second time round, he's potentially looking at a felony charge because it's not a first offence.
Yeah.
And obviously everybody knows California is, you know, in America has got some of the strictest gun rules in America. You know, I did speak to a mate who's from the States about this, and he basically said, in California, you cannot have a firearm and its ammunition together. They've got to be in separate locked boxes away from you. You can't have them, you know, even on you. You can't, unless you've got a concealed carry permit. He said, you can't do that. He said, and because he's got previous form in another state, he said he wouldn't get one anyway. So that's why he's been done for an illegal firearm. Because he's not supposed to, by California law, he's not supposed to have that firearm at all because he's got criminal form for doing it previously. So that's why he's potentially got a felony charge now.
Right, okay. That makes
prison
sense.
Time.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so no, obviously, taking it now from that perspective, the McVeigh and that are probably waiting to actually see, is he going to end up in jail? Because then that'll just give them the green light to go, right, well, you're gone. Otherwise, they're maybe waiting to league to do something about it. But then the league are probably waiting to see if, you know, the feds are going to do anything. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, since the initial thing, we've not really heard anything else about it. So, no. You know, the last I heard was he got arrested and he was still in prison later on in the day, which is unusual for. Normally, their agents will come out and basically bail them straight out. As soon as they're arrested, they get bailed. And, you know, he was still, I think, 6 hours later and he was still in prison. So, you know, who knows?
So, elsewhere in the league, Andy, did you catch any of the games?
Just breaking news. Apparently, Kendrick was at practice today.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm surprised at that.
Yeah. I am surprised at that as well. So, obviously, he has been released from prison, clearly. And apparently, he was back at practice today.
Well, we need to keep an eye on that one then. We just spent the last 5 minutes talking about, like, yeah, this could be a blip in the skies. Like, yeah,
literally.
No, he's still there.
Yeah, it's just been broken now that he's actually still, you know, he's been at practice today. So.
We'll monitor this one. We'll maybe revisit this next week. Maybe.
Elsewhere
in the league. I didn't see a single snap of anything other than our game, and that's purely because I was editing episode 100 on Sunday night, so my attention was elsewhere. And just as I was finishing up, I was watching our game. Did you catch anything elsewhere, Andy? I know there was the London game with the Ravens and the Titans. Did you catch any of that?
Yeah, I watched all of that, mate. That was a decent game, you know. Wasn't anything special, but, you know, it was... Wild away a few hours in the middle of an afternoon. Saved me going shopping, which is always a bonus. So, you know, it was just one of them. You could, you know, one of them games you sit and watch as a neutral. But like I say, you know, I think Tennessee have got a lot of problems coming up for themselves.
Yeah.
I watched.
Just before, sorry, you go on. That's the London games finished for the year. How did you rate the games this year?
Yeah, I thought they were pretty good games overall. You know, I think, you know, the Bills-Jags one was pretty exciting game because obviously two big teams. Kind of, the Jags game against the Falcons, it was basically, you know, a steamroller because, you know, their quarterback is absolutely useless, you know. And, you know, this game against, you know, Baltimore, It had its exciting moments. It was just once Tannehill got injured, it was game over because they had to bring Malik Willis in, who again just didn't seem to be able to throw a ball and just stood there for like 20 seconds waiting for somebody to smack his head off. So, you know, but up until that point, it was kind of a decent game. And then, like I say, once Tannehill went off injured, it kind of, you know, that was it. It was game over. But I'd say overall, decent games, you know, some decent games. You know, I will say so far this year, the league has felt a little bit strange with some of the results and play. And I know there was a statistic came out, was it yesterday? Apparently, quarterback players down. This is the fewest yards and touchdown by quarterbacks throughout the league since 2012, I think it was. There was the stat.
I think that's because there was a lot of talk in the kind of for the preseason about, you think of some of the quarterbacks that retired over the last few years, and it's, you know, not trying to run down the you know, current quarterbacks in the league or anything like that, but there's a bit of golf and talent when you see some of the guys that's retired over the last kind of 3-4 years or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking at your Tom Brady's, you know, like Matt Ryan, even though he's a choke artist, your Andrew Luck and kind of like guys like him, you know, and Peyton Manning, obviously, when he retired. Going for that to guys like seeing like Desmond Ridder in the league, you know.
Yeah. But as you said, you know, even the likes of Mahomes and that, their production is down. The whole league. Yeah, you know, so it's interesting. Is the league slowly evolving back to more of a running style league, or, you know, because it tends to be, we have those fluctuations, don't we? Where, you know, you have a few and then teams adjust, or is it defenses are now adjusting to how these, you know, the passing style? So now, you know, the offense has now got to, you know, evolution, you know, evaluate itself and revolutionize itself to be something different to beat these defenses that we've got.
Yep.
You know, so it's just interesting to see that, you know, stats wise, it's all passing wise is down this year. That'd be interesting to see come the end of the year just how much of a big difference, you know, in terms of yards it's going to be. Yeah. But, you know,
what about elsewhere in the league? Any other games stand out for you this week?
I watched the Indianapolis Jacksonville game. You know, I think everybody was kind of like, you know, oh, the Colts are fine. They've got Gardner Minshew back there. He's looked competent. And then this week he just looked useless. And then obviously they've had a bunch of injuries and just lost Grover Stewart for PEDs for 6 games as well. So, and their quarterback, Anthony Richardson's going for season-ending surgery on his shoulder.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a bummer for them.
I think if I read it right during the week, they said that he probably could have continued through the season or towards the tail end of the season, but they've opted to go with the surgery now and come back fresh with start next year because it's one of the ones that'll prolong his career if they do the surgery now, if I read that right.
Basically they could sort of bench him, you know, stick him on IR for 4 or 5 weeks and then potentially bring him back, but then, you know, there's the risk, as they said, of it, you know, flaring up again or affecting them later on, or they've just decided, I think it's the right way. Basically, the team has basically said, you know what, let's write this season off. We've seen enough out of you this year that we know you've got a future with us. We'll get you fixed up, we'll get you sorted, and you come back next year and we'll, you know, start again and, you know, you see how we get on, you know, maybe build a bit of a better team around them again. You know, now they've got the Jonathan Taylor stuff sorted with his contract, you know, they've got pieces that they can start building with next year. So, yeah, you know, an interesting strategy from them. And I think overall, probably the right one for them. Yeah. Obviously, I think 2 games we're going to have to discuss. It's nice to see. You know, I don't like Cleveland, especially because they've got a certain quarterback who shouldn't even be in the league. But it's nice to see them get a win with PJ Walker that they only took off the street a couple of days before, and, you know, they've managed to beat them. That was lovely to see. And I suppose, you know, New York Jets, you know, their defense, you know, getting them basically the win and against the Eagles, 3 picks against them, you know, and Zach Wilson, should we say, just doing enough to get them over the line week in, week out. And there's more and more talk that Rodgers may not even be out for the season now. He may be back. You know,
I saw that. Yeah, I saw the clips of him. He was at the game. The first clip I seen him was him getting out of the cart, and there was a limp there. But, I mean, you saw him on the field during the warm-ups. And, you know, I don't know what kind of medication he's taking or whatnot.
Whatever his darkness hole is, I might have to go visit myself and see if I can get a few things fixed up on the quick as well.
Working, but I mean, that could be a better turn up for the books if he does return, especially at his age.
Yeah, you imagine if the Jets can scrape through with Zach Wilson to the playoffs, and then you know scraping, you know, even the 10th, you know, the 7th seed in the AFC, and then Rodgers comes back for the playoffs, and you know, could you imagine that'd be quite a story given the fact of what happened at the beginning of the year? That would be, you know, but like I say, you know, Jets defense doing the job, and as long as you've got a defense as good as them, you've got, you know, they are going to be in some games.
Yep, that's it. Yep.
Obviously, I watched on Monday, sort of, because I was bored. So I was like, what can I watch? I was like, oh, what's the Detroit game? You know, see what they were like. And I hate to say it, but is it time to put Jared Goff as, you know, top five, top eight quarterback with what he's doing?
Yeah,
week in, you know, week in, week out now.
In terms of the NFC, he's rated, I believe, in the top five quarterback for the NFC. So far this year, and credit where it's due to him.
Yeah, I thought, all right, is this more? But I was watching the guy, you know, Tampa Bay third downs, especially, were bringing the blitz, something chronic. And the guy was just standing in there, taking the thing and just chucking darts all over the field, you know. So it's, you know, it's one of them. Could things have been different if we'd have kept them? Would things be different if we, you know, didn't go for Stafford? Where would we be at this point? You know, it's always going to be that question, especially with how well, you know, I think one analyst said, and I kind of agreed with him, is maybe he needed that adversity of being traded away and being thrown away onto the dust heap, because he's basically been the golden child, five-star recruit, went to Cal, drafted number one to the Rams, had, apart from 1 year with Fisher, basically has had McVay, you know, basically guide him through, you know, and that he basically never had that adversity, and going what he's been through with the Detroit Lions now has basically made him the better quarterback than, you know, but
it's allowed him to develop in the way that we wanted him to develop that 2020 season, where he just seemed to regress and it was, we cut a loss. Like you said, that kind of adversity being traded, going to, like, no disrespect to them, because they are performing really well this year. At the time, a lesser team than us. He's been able to come in and make that position his own, and, you know, prove doubters. Let's not beat around the bush there. He's proven the doubters wrong there. But as I've said previously about him, I think it's the Lions is a better fit for him, I believe, because there is less pressure on him there to perform, so he can just go out and just be him.
Enjoy the game again.
Yep, and show people what he's capable of. Don't get me wrong, he did it in LA, but after Super Bowl 53, we paid him, but we expected more from him, but he wasn't ready to get to that level.
This is the argument, though. Is that his fault, or was that a back office stuff thing for paying him too early and putting that pressure on him? They should have kept his contract.
I'm going to be honest and say it. I think it's more on the back office, because there wasn't really a need to pay him. They just do, but fuck it, we'll pay him. You know, because he's got us the Super Bowl, this is the guy. Instead of just going, we'll pay him when we need to pay him.
Yeah, we could have picked up.
Give him the incentive to get his back there, and then we'll pay him.
We had his fourth year of his contract, plus we could have picked up his 50-year option. So at the end of that 50-year option, it would have been, you'd have walked away, and we'd have not have, you know, no massive cap hit, and, you know, and maybe, you know, that would have given him the development time to get better. But, you know, and another ex-Rammer that's balling out for the Detroit Lions at the moment, Josh Reynolds. That guy has been balling. A few games now I've watched, and that guy is balling out for them. Again, he seems to have found his place again in the team. You know, again, it's just come through and just doing the job, and he's doing quite well. So it's, you know, a couple of ex-Rams there getting on with the jobs. Other than that, like I say, the Tenants, Justin Herbert choking a game again. you know, which unfortunately was against Dallas, but, you know, it's nice, you know. You know, that was basically it. There's a lot of weird scores, and I suppose one other is, you know, I think it's time Belichick sort of decided to, you know, hit the retirement home.
Because clearly, last week,
it's not getting any better. And even now, for a guy who was always a defensive guru, you know, even his defense now is looking lackluster and flustered and doesn't know what it's doing. You know, Jimmy G managed to, you know, beat you quite comfortably. You know, something's wrong.
Yep, that's that. So moving on, we've obviously come to week 7. Before we talk about our game, the international series continues and heads over the channel to Germany. So week 7, the Dolphins and the Chiefs will be in Frankfurt. Then week 10, it'll be the Colts and the Patriots. The Germany game was really well received last year, where, if you remember, folks, we had Runa from Rams Germany. And he spoke really highly of the experience, said that the atmosphere was great and whatnot, which was funny because I think he's seen from the London games a lot of UK fans had taken it personally about, you know, Sweet Caroline getting played in Munich, that they wanted to kind of send a message that the UK fans are better. So it'll be interesting to see what the atmosphere is like. Both games on Frankfurt, as I said, both kick off at 2:30. So yeah, Dolphins Chiefs should be a pretty good game.
That's going to be a really good game. You know, can the Dolphins steamroller them all? You know, excuse me, had to sneeze. Or do you know, the Chiefs' defense, which, to be honest, is pretty good defense, manages to, you know, stop them. And obviously, it's the Tyreek Hill revenge bowl, isn't it? So it's going to be a really interesting game.
I'm going to say that this is a preview of the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, at the moment, with how spotty other teams like Buffalo are playing, I could well see it being that.
Yeah, because it's the two best teams in the AFC, and you're saying it's going to be a good game. It's going to be interesting to see how Mike McDaniels, kind of like what you've got in store and planned against, you know, the Chiefs offense and defense. But like you said, Mahomes, you know, isn't having, I'm going to say he's having a bad season, but he's not having a great season. So, which is to see how he comes up against that. And
I think this year for the Chiefs, it's their wide receivers aren't particularly, outside of Kelce, are basically, you know, not doing much. And basically, but their defense is good enough that basically they're just holding teams to less than 20 points, you know. Yeah. The Chiefs are just getting ahead, and then, you know, I think I've seen it a few times now. They're just going to grind the game out, because even if you do get them to third and long and you block up all the passing lanes, Mahomes has got enough athleticism to basically just run for the first down anyway.
Yeah,
you know, and it's kind of, you know, I think that one of them teams, they're not doing it with the flashiness this year, but the way the defense is playing and Mahomes is doing just enough, they could still grind out, you know, potentially to get to the, as you say, the AFC Championship game. Yeah. But yeah, I'm actually looking forward to seeing this game and seeing what happens. I'm just praying it's not going to be a snooze fest.
I don't think it will be, but I'll tell you one game that isn't going to be a snooze fest, and that's our week 7 match against the Steelers. So this Sunday, the Steelers come to town at SoFi. We are 1-4 against them in the last 5 rounds, 9:05 UK time. Well, not in Sky Sports, so you can catch game on. Is it Dazen?
Yeah,
I call it Dazen.
Yeah, Dazen.
I was watching. My son wanted to watch the bloody Fury KSI fight, and it was the first time I'd ever heard Dazen being pronounced, and I was like, "It's Dazen." So, but again, that I just, you know, fits him, and you know, the recurring theme that John can't actually pronounce anything properly. So that's that. But yeah, so we're on their game pass, which will be good. So we'd have to put up Neil Reynolds again. Whoopee. I was actually worried we were going to be on Sky Sports, because I think Fox are carrying us as their, you know, not their game of the week, but they're carrying us as their main late game. So I was a bit concerned that it was going to be. But Andy, how are you feeling going into this one?
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty confident. You know, the Steelers do have a good defense, you know, and all said and done, you know, they're still a very defensive team, and they can, you know, when you've got Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, you know, that they're going to cause issues for us, you know. But I think, again, we have the quality that, you know, we can, especially with Cup, you know, just get the ball going. Obviously, we'll have to see what our run game's like, you know, and I think defensively with how pathetic the Steelers' offense is. You know, it's much like the Cardinals this week. It shouldn't be a contest. It should just be a case of we go out there, we shut them down, we hold them to maybe a few field goals, you know, and our offense just grinds out enough to get the job done. You know, I don't think it's going to be as easy a game as a lot of people are thinking it's going to be because of how good their defense is. But I think, again, much like the Cards, we will show that we have more quality to just, you know, grind the result out and get it done.
Yeah,
you know, it has one of them feelings of a game again. It might even come down to a field goal. You know, we'll win by a field goal, and you know, that'll be it. That's just how I'm feeling about this one. It's going to be a tight game for us, and it's how well can our offensive line hold up against their defense?
Yeah,
their defensive line. If they can hold up well enough to give Stafford time, I think he will carve them apart.
Yeah, it feels a little different, but if Williams wasn't out injured, because the run defense is not great, so there was no opportunity there for us to take build on last week, you know, and to you know win the game on the grounds. But we'll have to kind of obviously look more to the air. But that's not to say that, like, you know, the way Stafford's been playing, he's been getting a lot of plaudits so far this year, that he's looking more like his old self.
Yeah.
And that's the good stuff. Or that's not the, you know, launching it down for an interceptions, you know, for a Hollywood pass stuff. Or that's like, you know, consistent. That he's actually kind of like, you know, his arm looks good. You know, that elbow issue is not giving him any problems whatsoever.
He's
staying healthy. He's got, like you said, because he's got, you know, two bigger guys there in front of him, he's getting more time in the pocket. He's not getting hit as much as he was like last year. You know, he was getting absolutely pounded last year off the defences. So he's getting the time, you know, to watch the play develop, read the defence and make the plays. So I'm confident in him being able to do that, even against the Steelers' defence this week. But like you said, it's potentially going to be a close one. We've said it a few times now. We said it right at the start of this episode. It's going to be a game of two halves. It's going to be a case that we're going to be good the first half or second half here. And yeah, we'll just see how it goes. But I mean, all in all, I'm looking for the win from this one.
Same here. If we can get off to a fast start, pull ahead a little bit, you know, I don't feel the Steelers have got the offense that can, you know, keep up with a shootout sort of scenario. So if we can get, you know, a couple of touchdowns or maybe a field goal ahead, you know, that's it. Game's basically over and done with, bar complete disasters, pick sixes, you know, or strip sack returns. I do feel that, you know, that we will basically then just, we can just grind the game out and we'll win it. But, you know, a little bit of me wants to finally see McVay just go stuff it and let's just pound on a team and rack the scores up. You know, that's one thing I do find with McVay. He doesn't like to really do that very often.
Yeah.
I'd like to see us just say, you know what, stuff it this week. If you, you know, like Miami did a few weeks ago, you try and stop us. If you can't stop us, we're just going to keep scoring until it's, you know, we've dropped a flipping 40-50 bomb on you. You know, let's just see. You know, let players get the confidence as well. But like I say, defensively, I don't see this being, you know, this should be a bit of a snooze fest for the, you know, for them, because the Steelers don't show anything at all. The only issue that worries me is if they get, it's either Curtis Warren or Carter Warren back. They're running back. If he comes back this week, he's quite a big threat in the run game, and you know, he could potentially cause us a few issues if you know, but I'm confident with how well our run defense has played as well that we could shut him down, you know. Because if you can shut the run down, that's it. Steelers offense is finished.
That's it, yeah. And you know, we like the way, like you said, we talked about Ernest Jones, like I'm confident in players like him on defense being able to stop the run as well. You know, like, whilst we've only really got maybe like, we've only got Aaron Donald up front in terms of like actual talent on the defensive line. That's not to take anything away from the other guys. You know, we've got Biden Young.
Yeah, it's like proven talent.
A proven talent, yep.
Yeah.
It's good knowing that if you know, they get by that line, you've got somebody like Ernest Jones that's there ready to kind of wrap it up. So I'm confident that in years gone by when we used to always slate our run defence, I'm confident in our run defence actually being able to improve this year with the guys we've got and brought in, you know, drafted in terms of like, you know, like Turner and Byron Young, guys like that can really can add as well. And have started off well. So I'm confident that we can shut them down.
Basically. Yeah, you know, as much as we've called the guy out for the last few weeks, you know, even Michael Hoyt and you know,
yeah,
in his run defence this week, you know, against the Cards, he did well. You know, he was really did really well. Him and Jonah Williams, who was sort of flipping between each other, they were both doing good jobs. So, you know, if those two can do that again, you know, there's no reason why we can't shut these guys down and walk out with a nice easy win.
Yep, that's it. And fingers crossed it's a win. We wrap up, Andy, anything else you want to bring up or discuss? How's you going at fantasy actually this week?
I think I lost again. I've not actually even looked. I actually haven't looked because I have just a feeling I think it was another loss.
I'm feeling free now. I didn't fare too good this week.
I'm just looking now.
I've got about 70 or 80 points I managed to get, which was, you know, awful.
I won last week. I'm 2-4.
There you go. Hey!
However, I've had to drop off my team because basically all my starters, half my bench is all injured now.
Oh, they're injured?
Yeah. So I've literally had to. And I've got to make two changes again this week because two of my players are now on bye.
Fantastic. Anyone of note?
Only Tyler Boyd and Evan McPherson was on bye this week for the Bengals, you know, which is decent players. And obviously Jets defense is on bye as well, which has been getting me the most points, to be honest. Yeah. So, but yeah, obviously Justin Jefferson's out, so I'm missing that and a few others. I think Tank Dell I had to get rid of because he's got injured as well now, so you know, it just seems to be this year I seem to be everybody I've drafted in fantasy is getting injured. So just be glad I didn't draft any Rams players.
I think I've only got CJ Stroud, who's my backup quarterback, on bye week, and Joe Mixon, I think.
Yeah, it'd be Joe Mixon. Yeah,
it's a Bengal anyway. Yeah, I think it's Mixon. Everyone else I've got, sorry. It was actually smart for once. Usually when I draft in the fantasy leagues, I just draft and then realise that I'm going to have 1 week where at least half my team is on the bye together. I mean, it's 1 week to take the hit and the loss, and that's it, but it usually ends up a week where I really need to win. A bit better this year, but it's, you know, I'm sitting third out of fifth in my division.
I don't bother drafting the second kicker. I just let them go on the bye because it's not
for all the points they get.
Yeah, it's not worth it. But like I say, unfortunately, I had to bring Boyd in because I'd lost Jefferson, and it was like I forgot that he was also on bye. So it's like, Jesus, what am I going to do now?
I've got Mahomes as my starting quarterback, and like, that is when you were saying about him, like, oh, he's not really been performing as well as this. Like, if you've got these guys on fantasy, you can actually see not how bad they're playing, but how not as good they're playing compared to other years. When it's like, he says projections like 20 points, and he's always under his projection. Mahomes is usually the kind of quarterback that's always over his projected points.
Yeah, you have to inflate his points because he's guaranteed to always get more than what, you know, they expect. But this year, it's just, like I say, it's just not been. But yeah, I've seen that with a lot of quarterbacks, as I say, this year.
That's it, yeah. But, see what happens next week.
I will say, though, I've actually got Goff as my starting quarterback, so I'm kind of happy about that at the moment, ironically.
Oh, well, there you go.
He's the only one I think that managed to get me the win last week because I've not done anything else so far.
Listen, as the season goes on, he could be keeping up the dark horse in terms of fantasy.
I did put a cheeky £5 the other day on Detroit to win it all, so.
That's ambitious. That is ambitious.
It is, but the odds are very good.
Well, if you think about the year that we got the Super Bowl, you know, I know we didn't win, but I'm pretty sure the odds on us that year would have been really good. Let's say that. And well, actually, the year we did win it all, in fact, the odds were even better.
Especially with how sketchy like the NFC is at the moment, I don't think there's a better time for them to potentially go and do it all.
And, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. I bet, like, see if you put in the 2022 season, no, 2021 season, sorry, if you were put the bet on us winning all in November, you'd have got incredible odds. Like, they would have, like, said, you might just cash out the now, you can just take your bet back. No, I'll keep it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Now before, you know, the more they're going to win now. I mean, the 5-1, so they're up there at the top of the whole, you know, the NFC, you know. The stock is going to start, you know, climbing where it's going to be. So I thought, now's the time. If you're going to, plenty of five, or if you lose it, it's not the end of the world, you know. Or if you win it, well, it's quite a nice little payout if you get it all.
See, whilst we're actually talking about the bet, right, because it's something, it's new, I guess, to America, that betting seems to be getting pushed a lot more. But have you noticed there's a lot more talk about the, you know, the kind of spread in terms of, like, the final scores of games. And it's always the one I picked up is actually the Chiefs games. Like, commentators making, like, remarks as if, like, oh, no, well, they didn't want to score so that they could make sure it keeps within the spread. You know, as in terms of, like, you know, not really match fixing them. I'm not saying that, but, like, is it point shaving? They would still call it.
Yeah.
Keep it within a certain point so that it doesn't go over, you know, like, say, like the 10.5 or whatever. You know, there's been quite a few comments. Commentators saying it during games, but I don't know if it's a league thing that they're trying to push betting in the sport now. Because over the last kind of year or so, it's you know, sportsbook, sorry, as they call it out there in America, whereas we would just call it, you know, betting. It seems to be something that's getting pushed a lot more. But I think that's because companies like FanDuel, that are American based kind of sports betting company, and Caesar Sports, I think someone I keep seeing advertised, they're really, like, you know, pushing betting in sports in general now.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, the spread is basically how many points they'll win by, or, you know, they're within this area. So, you know, if it's a 3-point spread, you know, the game would be like, you know, 27 to 30 sort of thing. They expect it to be roughly within that range, 7-point, 10-point, you know, that's how it works. It's got to be roughly within that range of, you know, a win. That's how it basically works on the spread. But, I mean, for Detroit to win it all at the moment, it's 450-1, so... If I, you know, it's a fair chunk back on a fiver.
It's a fair chunk. It's worth a fiver, eh?
Yeah.
What are we out of interest?
I think we're 600-1.
Oh, that's worth a fiver.
What, to win it all? Well, you know.
Listen, I remember coming to the very first episode I ever came on and done this podcast. You were on it as well. And it was funnel enough. We were going in to play the Cardinals. We beat the Bucks at home, and I remember saying it. And Tony, who was hosting the episode, was like, "Oh no, don't get ahead of yourself." I turned around the episode and said, "Like, based off of what I've seen last week, who knows? I think we've got a great chance of running this and winning this. I think people are ringing us off. I think we're a dark horse, and we went and won it. And so never say never." Yeah, all it takes is some results to go in your favour, to scrape in. You know, bear in mind, we went a full month the year we did win it all. We went a full month without winning a single game. You know, and it wasn't against, like say, the 49ers, the Packers, for example. So it wasn't against, like, against rubbish teams. You know, we're getting teams at our level. I don't want to say better, but you know what I mean. You know, so you never know. But for those odds, you know, it's worth chucking me a
five. Yeah, that's what I say. Yeah, that's what I do. You know what? If I get it all, if I don't, well, yeah,
but
not the end of the world.
I suppose putting a fiver on the Lions to win it all was probably more sensible than putting a fiver on us to win it all. But
yeah,
you never know.
Stranger things have happened, mate.
Stranger things have happened, mate. And with that, folks, that about does it for us here at episode 101 of the LA Rams UK podcast. In case you missed it, on Sunday night we dropped episode 100, which is a short episode, maybe half hour episode, where Andy Elson joins me as well. But I was also joined by Tony, Chris and Aaron, that you'll remember. They are still part of the LA Rams UK team. Very much still a big part of the team. The guys are just can't commit to the podcast, just working, personal life. But they're still in the backgrounds, grinding away as they always have been. But they joined us for the episode where we reminisced about their experience, how they got involved in LA Rams UK, and just, yeah, general their hopes in for the future. So please check that out, folks. You'll get that through all our usual audio channels. I've not got around to uploading the audio version into YouTube, but I'll get to that. It'll be on YouTube as well. But you can catch us on YouTube, just to plug it as well, at LA Rams UK. We're here on Spotify. Again, we're on Spotify, sorry. Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes. You can catch all usual places and whatnot. Give us a like, follow, subscribe, get the notifications on so you don't miss any episodes, folks. But that, like I said, that does it for this episode. Andy, always a pleasure, mate.
Yep, same here, mate. Always a pleasure, and hopefully we're back this next week for another win and a bit more positivity.
We will, and we'll catch you next week, folks, where we will mull over, which, fingers crossed, will be a victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers. So for now, folks, we will catch you later. Good night.